other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, June 19th, and we're here.
We are.
As always, like I say, your humble servants. Whatever happens, we are here, and you guys don't have to pay us. You know, I mean, how much better can it get for a listener, right?
It can't.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
They get to listen to us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they get a gift every morning by listening to us and all our insignificant things we talk about. But actually, no, I think we talk about important things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. This show used to be all about unimportant things, but somehow it got, you know, I never can, like, talk about things that are not important, you know.
Right. No, I think we cover it all.
Yeah, we cover it all pretty much. Okay, so we're done for today. Thank you very much. We can go home.
We've said we talk about important stuff, so that's all that matters.
There you go. You know, that's all the important stuff for today. Well, in a few minutes, we're going to bring in a great guest who's sitting here, and I know it's going to be fun. And, I got to tell you about this. Last night, you know, in the other station, we're doing a show, and it's a show called Cocktails, so they drink during the show and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I always tell them, don't touch the microphones because, you know, I set them up. We do video there as well, you know,
right.
We videotape the show. So I tell them, don't move the mic because this way it's perfect so it doesn't obscure your face and everything.
Yeah.
Right? So sure enough, you know, she moves the microphone. It falls right on her wine glass, and the whole thing breaks on the table.
Oh, no.
To a million different pieces. And
the glass?
The glass.
Is the microphone
and
okay?
Spilled, yeah, the microphone's fine, but she spilled it, like, near the equipment. Let's just say we were very lucky.
Yeah.
It didn't hit the equipment. And, you know, I'm finding myself in a strange position because here, when things like this happen, we just walk in and fix it or whatever. But when you have a camera, it doesn't look great when someone comes into the frame and starts cleaning up. But I couldn't leave it like that either because it doesn't look great on camera when you have a broken glass.
Yeah,
and
that's
spilled
a sticky
wine.
Situation.
Yeah, there you go. Literally. So. So I actually went in and cleaned it up and stuff. And I, you know, people don't listen. She says, well, I wasn't told. I said, yes, you were told. I told you, don't touch the microphone.
Oh, no.
So that's the situation there. And but it's fun. I love this new station, you know.
You do?
I mean, these girls are just, they're a riot, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm, like, fascinated with them. They're, like. Like worse than guys sometimes.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
But that's good that everything's
filthy
going
mouths
well
and filthy minds,
yeah.
You know.
That's good though that everything's going well and the station.
Yeah, I'm happy with it. It keeps me happy and busy, so that's a good thing, you know.
Definitely.
I started getting into trouble being not busy enough. You know.
Yep.
So I needed to find something new to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how are you doing this morning? Everything good?
I'm good.
Yeah. You dressed for the summer, I see, and everything.
Yeah. It's getting more. Well, it's always been hot out, but it's weird to think that it's actually summer. I keep thinking
it is, right?
Oh, it's going to be a really hot summer. But it is summer.
It already is. Yeah.
So
the amazing thing is it still gets chilly at night, right?
It does, which I like.
Yeah,
which was
I know.
When I first moved to LA, that was the thing I loved the most.
Yeah, because
it was really hot during the day and at night.
And then the heat goes away, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen like that in Florida, huh?
No.
It pretty much stays in the air.
Yeah.
I think all the humidity and everything.
Exactly.
You know?
It's just hot and humid.
Right.
Yeah.
And then in Vegas too, you know, it's just, it's obviously the opposite of humid, but then still, it stays 100 degrees at night.
Right.
So that's tough, man. It's tough to live like
that.
So
I like the LA. I just love LA.
Yeah.
But I'm in the process of moving, so.
Oh, yes,
I'm
you are.
I'm packing everything and
so in time for the first or what? Is that?
Saturday.
Oh, Saturday
no,
you're
yeah,
moving?
Saturday, yeah.
Wow.
But my apartment complex is being a pain and I'm just over it.
Really?
Over
they want
all.
You to like to pay?
Yeah, well, they're just being so picky about everything has to be like there's one black mark on the wall. Oh, you have to paint the whole thing.
Really?
I'm like, really? Wow. There's one tiny black mark.
Yeah.
But they're saying if I don't paint it, they're going to have to repaint the whole place.
Right.
Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's like a tiny black mark. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of over my apartment complex right now.
Yeah. Huh?
But only a couple more days.
So. Yeah, that's true. Wow. Yeah.
But moving's never fun.
No, it's a tough thing to do.
It's one of the most stressful things you can do.
Exactly. Apparently. That and divorce and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I took that psychology class too in college.
But yeah, so I'm just ready to be done.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of stuff to move?
Kind of.
Yeah.
I accumulate things.
You do in a small apartment.
It's just
ridiculous. Really?
And right now everything's boxed and I don't know where anything is.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Wow.
And I'm just like, oh, this is driving
me crazy.
So
you're sitting in boxes now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I sold my couch yesterday. But that was, so halfway through the couch, the people came to buy the couch. They took out the couch but left the pillows because they couldn't carry it all.
Right.
In the meantime, I locked my keys in my apartment, so we got locked out.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, just not a pleasant night.
No, huh? Wow.
Yeah, so they weren't impressed. I wasn't impressed. It's just a hassle.
Yeah, so what did you have to do? Did the office give you a key or something?
Well, they weren't.
They weren't there, right?
It was late. No, they weren't there. It was late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you do? No emergency number or anything?
Well, there was a locksmith.
Yeah,
and
they probably
didn't answer.
Haven't.
So my boyfriend kicked the door in.
Really? Wow. What happened to the lock?
Nothing. Surprisingly, the door is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a terrible, it's put together so badly that really nothing much happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
now that must
lucky.
Make you feel safe, huh?
I know.
That someone can break into the apartment.
Seriously,
just as easily,
that easily.
Wow.
As soon as he did that, I didn't know he was doing that. And I was like, oh my God, no, you didn't.
Yeah,
do
what
that.
Are you doing?
I'm bothered about my deposit and you just kicked the door in.
Broke the whole friggin' thing.
But no, there was not much damage.
Wow.
So. Which exactly
yeah,
isn't
but
very.
You'll still have to get a locksmith.
Doesn't really put your
probably,
mind at
right?
rest.
You probably ruined the lock though, right?
It can easily fix.
Yeah.
Yeah, easily fix. And it actually is a lot less hassle than having to drive to Los Feliz and take the couch pillows to the people.
That's
and
true.
So it worked out well. As well as could be. I
well,
guess.
That was quick thinking on his part.
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow.
I live on the second story.
Uh-huh.
And there's a garage on. It goes the garage, the first, the second. So there was no hope of climbing up and.
Right, it's pretty high
just,
up there, huh?
And I've locked my keys out, locked myself out so many times.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I locked my
you
keys
gotta
in
be
my
careful.
Car. I've done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm every time I leave the apartment, if I have to go down to pick up something, not leave because when I leave, I never forget the keys. But you would think, you know, if you're in your shorts or something, you're just going to get the mail. I'm always so paranoid about it. I look at my hands to make sure my keys are there.
Right.
When I leave, you know.
I know.
It's, I don't know. I have this fear of being locked out. I think maybe from a childhood trauma or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the worst feeling. I didn't have my phone. I didn't have my wallet. Nothing. It's great.
Yeah.
Great.
I know.
Nothing
I remember once.
Do.
Yeah. You know, that was when I was still living with my wife. We're in an apartment on the second floor, and I like sitting on the balcony and stuff. So one day she just said, okay, goodbye. I'm going shopping or whatever. I said, okay. I sat outside, didn't even have my phone on me. And not even the computer. Usually I have the computer outside and the phone on me. I was just reading. Later, I'm trying to get back in the apartment. She locked the door, door into the apartment. And I'm stuck there. I'm freaking out, okay? Because I'm telling you, I get some childhood trauma. I think it was because my mom would tell me, if I was not being good, if I was being bad and stuff, you know, being pretty young. And we lived in an apartment building. She would just say, well, you go outside and wait for your dad to come home. And then you can come in. So I would just sit there in the dark stairway.
Oh, my God.
You know, and and I'm sure she didn't mean anything bad. But, you know, it's I think it left something on me.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to be locked out,
you
know.
Yeah.
So
so you had to sit on the balcony until your wife came back?
No, no. So what happened there is no, there's no way. I mean, it could have been hours.
Yeah.
And I didn't have my phone either. I'm like, so I can't believe this. I always have my phone on me, mm-hmm. you know, even when I'm sitting outside. Because you never know who might call or you get a text or something. Yeah. But I did not. So it was sort of like destined to be that way. So I'm like waiting for someone to walk by. And sure enough, this older lady walked by. And I'm shouting to her. I go, hey, hello. And she's like looking everywhere. She doesn't know where I am, right? So finally, I got her attention. And I got her to call my wife. And luckily, I remembered her number. Because today with speed dial, you don't remember people's numbers.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. That would have been a real mess if I didn't remember her number. So she called and, so she came home. And it was like at least an hour there, you know.
Oh, no.
And I knew she wasn't going to come back for a while. She went shopping.
Yeah. Yeah. You were stuck. It's the feeling of being stuck, though. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
It's like I have nowhere to go.
Yeah. I know. So I might as well have keys around on a chain around my neck or something.
Yeah.
You know? Never lose
That's
those.
That's what I need. I need them around my neck, so I'll never lose them or forget them. It's a good idea.
All right. Well, enough of that for this morning. We're going to bring in our guest who's sitting here patiently and smiling. And I was telling her, she and her publicist who's sitting here and refusing adamantly to get on the mic, which is fine. Which is fine, because you guys will never get to see her, so she doesn't have to be embarrassed or anything. And so we have Catherine in the studio. Catherine
Ciccoletti.
Ciccoletti, right?
Yes.
Ciccoletti, right. So you see, if I brought up my screen, then I would know. And let me just bring this up so the second time I don't mess up your name here. Okay. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Are you an LA local?
I am.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So it was easy for you to come to the show.
Yes, I live in Santa Monica.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So she picked a nice place in town to live. How long have you lived in Santa Monica now?
I have lived in Santa Monica since 2009.
Oh, so you've been here a while, 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm from Orange County.
Oh, really? So you're not that far.
So, yeah.
But, I was prepared to hear I'm from the Midwest and all that story, story.
I love the Midwest, and I've always gotten along very well with people from the Midwest. My old business, I used to travel there a lot, and I loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're a California girl.
I am.
Southern California girl.
Yes.
Awesome. What was it like growing up in Orange County? Is your family, were they pretty well off? I mean, is that like the stereotype of Orange County?
No.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Okay, so first of all, it's different. Like what you see on TV, all the reality shows that have started, I did not grow up when, I'm sure that was happening in certain households, but that is an embellished pocket of Orange County.
Okay.
So,
an embellished pocket.
Yeah,
which
as reality television should be, because what else? You're not going to watch it if it's not.
Right.
So, I mean, it was obviously a nice, you know, a nice place to grow up, but no, people weren't driving around, or my friends weren't driving around and you know,
BMWs
Porsches
and
whatnot. I mean, I think my parents got me, I think it was, it was an old Blazer, and it would like turn off while I was driving.
Really?
Oh, no joke. And it would hit the curb sometimes. Like,
oh boy.
Yeah. It was not.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Your parents should not have bought you that car.
I think it was $3,000.
Yeah. So. But still, you don't put your daughter in a car like this.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, I guess we get the picture. You guys were not like housewives of Orange County.
By any
means.
Yeah. Which, you know.
That's a good thing.
Would have been nice, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have a brother.
Uh-huh.
Well, so my parents were divorced, and I have one whole brother, and he lives back east. Mm-hmm. And then I have a half-sister, stepsister, and then a handful, five stepbrothers.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Is that from two marriages, or how many marriages is that?
So my dad is remarried to my stepmom. Her name is Maggie, and Sunita is my stepsister.
Okay.
And then the boys are all from my stepdad.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So
you have a big family now.
Yeah, but everyone's like scattered all over the place up north.
That's how families are usually. You know, everybody grows up. We have a very mobile society, you know, so people move to different places, and it's rare that you see families stay all together at one place, you know. Mm-hmm. So, well, that's cool. So did you have a nice childhood? I mean, did you did you like, were you happy, or did you get locked out in stairways like I
did? I felt so sad when you said that.
I know, well.
I was so sad.
I know. It's like when I think about it now, it's like my mom sounds like a monster, but she really wasn't.
I was picturing this little boy outside in the dark. Because
the stairwell would get dark, and then there's like a light with a timer. So after like 2 minutes or something, the light goes off, so you have to turn it back on.
Oh my God.
I still remember it to this day. Yeah. You know, it was the worst feeling. You want to get in the house and you can't.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know about that, but yeah.
You seem like you made it through it.
I made it through it.
You seem okay.
Yeah, a few scratches on the psyche, but that's about it. You know?
Well, the fact that you even admit it means it's probably you're doing fine. Most people don't even recognize there.
That's true. Oh, I've recognized my problems early on, believe me.
That's the key, I think.
I've had plenty of time to work on some of this stuff. That's why today are some of my happiest years, you know.
Yeah.
And even though I'm struggling with aging and stuff like that, you know, but it's invariably, I mean, the thing is that right now I'm like happy all the time. And I think it's also because in my 30s, I discovered I had like depression and bipolar and all that.
Oh,
so, so it really like, it ruined my first marriage. You know, I mean, bipolar can be very like cruel, you know, and ruthless. I mean, it breaks up families and everything. It takes lives. And it broke up my family because I was impossible to live with. You know, so, but, you know, all this is behind me now, and I'm very happy things are working out. I mean, look, we're all screwed up by our childhood, but I think that's the purpose of life, really. I think that's why we come here, is to get screwed up so we can actually fix something about ourselves, you know. And so otherwise, why are we here? You know, I mean, it's not, okay, so we're here to learn how to love each other. Okay, but what for, you know?
Right.
And you have to love yourself first. So obviously, you still have to battle with scars and things like that from childhood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why, you know, I mean, even the happiest families, you know, they've got problems.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They've
definitely
got problems.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So secretly, it makes you feel good. Because I'm not the only one. You know? So that's good. So so high school was good for you? No bullying or anything?
High school was good. Yeah, no bullying.
Were you like a popular girl in school? With the blonde hair and everything and the beautiful smile?
Let's start from the top. My hair is not normally blonde.
Okay.
It's the color of my eyebrows, which is brown. So I don't think I had highlights in high school.
Okay.
No, I definitely did not have highlights in high school. Let's clear that up.
How about, were you a cheerleader or something?
Okay, so I was a cheerleader for 1 year and didn't really like it. I ran cross country and track. That was my thing.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And then I tried cheerleading for a year because, I don't know, my friends were doing it and it sounded fun. And then I liked this. I was like, this is not fun. And I quit after 1 year. Yeah. I don't know. I just, I don't have anything, you know.
Yeah. You just maybe got burned out on it or something? I mean, because Charlotte used to do sports too, and after a while, she's just had it with it. You know, she's done it for so long and so rigorously.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So after a year, you decided.
So yeah, that was I ran cross country and track in high school.
Uh-huh.
So that was, I think, maybe, I don't know, maybe if you just get used to doing sports, it's just different to, you know. The cheerleading thing is just such a different thing.
Yeah.
You know? I love that you said that.
No, I mean, it is, right? I'm sure I'm offending a bazillion cheerleaders right now, but I mean,
but it's different.
I'm not saying one's better than the other. It's
completely different.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, and also, there's those, you know, the when you're doing sports and the endorphins and all that, and I think there's something to be said for that in terms of, like, you know, the shot of energy that you get from doing sports and getting your heart rate going really fast every day. I mean, it is a form of, you know, therapy or medication.
Yeah.
I mean, there's studies that show that. And I don't recall getting the same feeling from doing, like, kicking my leg in there. Yeah.
Well, it's not really a sport, you know, being a cheerleader, you know.
You just totally
but you have to
off a lot of people.
Yeah. No, I guess you're right, right? Because, I guess you have to be in good shape.
Oh, you have to be in good shape. Yeah, absolutely.
Because you do more than just jump up and down, right? I mean, some of them jump on top of the shoulders of other people
it's
and all that stuff.
It's a different kind of sport.
What is that?
It is. I mean, you do have to have, you have to be very flexible, I recall.
Yeah.
Doing this splits and stuff, and right now I couldn't do that for the life of me. I can barely touch my toes, but
really, yeah. Well, we're all like that. Any romance with a quarterback or anything in your past?
I did have
the stereotypical American romance.
Yeah, well, you know,
it's true though. I had my high school boyfriend. Yeah. I mean, I think even when I wasn't a cheerleader, I had boyfriends on the football team, not at the same time, but like. There was
not
two
at the same time.
Just to clarify, but they were normal, nice guys. It wasn't like it was fine.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So then you went on to. Did you go to college after that?
So then I went to Berkeley. To
oh wow!
Yeah, to
we
UC
have
Berkeley.
A smart cookie over here. Yeah. Go on.
So that was.
What did you take in Berkeley?
So I studied business.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so you obviously did well in high school if you were accepted to Berkeley. It's not easy to get into, right?
Yeah, I definitely think that if I applied to get to Berkeley right now, I would not get in. I think it's
really?
Way harder now. Yeah.
Wow.
I think it is, yeah.
Why is it? Because there's more competition to get in, you think?
I think so. I swear. I mean, you read these things that these kids do before they, you know, when they're in high school now. I mean, they're like leading these, or starting these nonprofits or doing this or that. I mean, kids in high school now are off the charts with what they're doing to get into college.
Really? So
we didn't do any of that.
Oh, really? So like community stuff and things like that. They want like
leadership things. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well-rounded person.
Yeah, and then, you know, it being a public school, it's obviously, you know, more affordable.
Right.
So you get more people applying.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
So
now why did you pick Berkeley? Did you apply to other schools too?
I did, but I only wanted to go to Berkeley. I remember. It's so weird thinking about it because it's obviously so different than Orange County.
Right.
But I think that was why I wanted to go. I remember going up my freshman year in high school and I don't know. I just really liked it. I feel like I liked it because it was so different than Orange County. And I haven't lived in Orange County since I left when I was 18.
Right, like as an adult.
So it's been a long time. And I don't think I'll ever live in Orange County again.
Yeah.
I like cities where there's like a little more diversity and different things going on. And I think Berkeley was, that was just like diving into it,
right?
You know,
yeah,
it's pretty up there.
Yeah, and then
awesome. So you went for business.
So yeah,
and did you get just one degree? Did you go for a master's, like an MBA or anything?
Did not get an MBA.
I
never even thought of it
because you probably started like having ideas for businesses and stuff, right?
Well, I was like a pretty focused student. And so by the time I was graduating, I just wanted to graduate and start working.
Right.
You know, and start making money. I was just tired of studying.
Yeah.
I know. It's like studying so much. So
yeah. And that's the thing, though. I mean, going to college right after high school is really like heavy stuff, right? I mean, you don't get a break after 12 years. You want to like, you know, give me, you know, a few months off. No, you go straight to college.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I guess I just was ready. I was just ready for the next thing. And then an MBA, I thought, I don't know. I just thought, I just knew myself and I can like max out on how much I can learn from books.
Right.
And then I just need to start doing it.
Right.
You know, anytime I start something new, it's, I mean, this is, you know, just talking about what we're going to talk about, I'm sure. But, you know, a lot of people that are launching websites or this or that, and they say, how do you do it? How did you learn how to do this? And I'm just like, you just have to do it. Like, stop talking about when you're going to launch your website or stop talking. Just get it up. Like, launching the site is literally 5% of the work.
That's true,
you know?
Yeah.
So you just have to do it. And I think that probably lends to how I wanted to get out of college.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Like, can I just start doing things, you know?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And besides, I find that usually business graduates do not necessarily want to go for an MBA because it's just so much business, you know. I mean, yeah. it's a lot. And besides, business schools also look for people who did not necessarily graduate in business because they want well-rounded people, right, you know. Yeah. So if you were like in some other field or something and then you want to get into business, you have actually better chances than if you take get a business undergrad degree.
Well, and I think business school is great for people who didn't have an undergrad business degree.
Right, exactly.
And then say they've been working for a couple of years out of college and then they wanted to, I know I have a ton of friends that have done this, and then they wanted to make a career change more towards business.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So then they go get their MBA. And I think that you know, and then it just launches them right into some great job, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's really redundant to do it if you're a business undergrad because they teach you more or less the same stuff, you know? It's just there's a lot more casework and things like that, you know? But other than that, it's like how many things are there to learn in business that you can't learn in 4 years?
Debits,
you know?
On the left, credits
debits
on the right.
and statistics and memorized. Finance and my God, you know, it's like to get through business, you have to do a lot of things that's quite dry. I have to agree. Yeah, because I'm a business graduate as well. And I remember, I mean, like I loved marketing and management and things like that. You know, those were cool.
Yeah.
But when it came to the finance and, you know, all those investments and stuff, it's like, hello, you know, wake me up here.
Yeah.
I can't relate to that.
And well, you know, what's so funny about that is I remember all my finance classes and I feel like everything I learned, you know, about what I'm doing now was after college.
Really?
In terms of the finance concepts. Like, I mean, you learn terms, you know, so you understand, okay, I guess I learned in college that when interest rates go up, the value of a bond goes down. I don't really remember if I learned that in college or after college, to be honest with you. I have no idea. You know, but you know what's so weird is I do remember classes in college that I thought were so lame, I feel like now are the best classes. Like I remember in the undergrad business program, we had to take organizational behavior.
Yes.
And, you know, learning how to motivate employees and, you know, all that. And I thought it was like the stupidest thing on the planet.
Really?
I was like, this is why do you have to motivate people? Don't they just do their job? You know? And since working in the corporate world for the last 13 years in huge organizations, I remember thinking, oh my God, that those, not that I was applying stuff that I'd learned, but I just remember like when I was trying to get stuff done, you know, you have to be, you think in that organizational behavior mind in terms of like, how can I get this person to get this done by 6 p.m. when I need to leave? And I know they don't like me, you know? So you know what I mean? Like, that's practical, right?
That's
like,
true.
That's more practical than being able to look up a definition on option pricing or something. You know?
No, I think real world experience is always better.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, so when you got out of college, what was the first thing you did?
So I went to work for, I graduated from college in 1999, which was the .com, you know.
Yeah, boom.
Pre-bust.
Pre-bust.
About one year before the bust. And so I went to work for a .com. It was a hedge fund research company. So we researched hedge funds and wrote research reports and sold the research to individual investors, meaning like if you were interested in investing in a hedge fund, but you didn't have access to them or their information, we would do all the research on the hedge fund and give you the information and then you could make your decision.
I see. Okay.
It was actually pretty smart. I think it was like a little bit before the time, which I feel like you might. Anyway, so went and worked there, but it went out of business, you know, one and a half years later. I'd moved to New York with them.
Really?
And so I was out of a job in New York at 23.
Oh, wow. So quickly, what's a hedge fund? Just still for people who don't know, including myself. I've heard of it so many times. I don't know what a hedge fund is.
So, I think the easiest way to think of a hedge fund is to contrast that with probably something that you're, that you do know. Mm-hmm. So you are familiar with mutual funds,
right?
Correct.
Uh-huh.
SEC regulated. They have a bevy of restrictions on them in terms of what they can and can't do in terms of investments,
right,
in terms of investing.
Okay.
Hedge funds, the easiest way to put it, have a lot wider of net that they can cast in terms of their investments.
Okay.
And some are regulated by the SEC, some aren't. So when you hear about these hedge fund managers who have gone to jail or being you know, the ongoing discussion is on regulation of them and what are they actually doing. Their toolbox of investing is a lot wider than a typical mutual fund that you would have, say, in your 401k.
Okay.
So, you know, higher risks, higher reward in a lot of cases. I am actually a believer in hedge funds, even though I make fun of them a lot. But
so,
you know,
is that like something from Wolf of Wall Street? Is that what they were doing there?
I mean,
because it seemed like they were doing everything.
Yeah, they, that, yeah, that's like a little different. But I mean,
okay,
hedge funds are, I mean, they've become so common. To be honest, it's really, there's hedge funds out there that are huge. And then like, I know people that have hedge funds that manage just money for family and friends, but they don't have just one specific mandate in terms of, investments, or they aren't tightly clamped down on, versus say the traditional fund world, which is why people launch that, because they think I need to be able to do anything and everything I want.
Right.
You know, in terms of investing.
Okay, makes sense. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Catherine Ciccoletti. That's obviously Italian. Are you from Italian?
I am, Italian? But I'm only, the name is, I'm only a quarter.
A quarter
I
Italian.
I know, so the last name is like.
That's fine. So it's just enough to like pizza and spaghetti and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. To have the big family meals. That's what we do on my dad's side. Yes, definitely. Where are you from?
I'm from Israel.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know what? It's like, you know, I've been here like 37 years, okay? Almost 38 years. And for all this time, people have always asked me, where are you from? And the thing is, my first desire when I came to this country when I was 16 is to lose the accent. You know, I want to assimilate. I want to be like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it hasn't worked all this time. And so guess where I'm going tomorrow? I'm going to a accent reduction class.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I want to sound like you and you.
No.
You know? Well, I won't sound like you. No, really.
Why?
Because I... well, look, I'm on the radio, first of all.
Right.
Okay. And I don't think people, you know, really are into accents, although I've been doing it for 6 years and I have a huge audience. So
who
knows?
Oh, I know. I think it's, that's,
you think it's good? It's cool? Yeah, that's what people have told me. You know, yeah. I've spoken to speech coaches before and they said, why would you want to change your accent? And I'm like, because I don't want people to ask me where I'm from.
Oh,
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what it matters, but it does. So I'm going to go like, and he said, you, because he listened to the show and he said, you only have a slight accent, you know, we can take care of that. So I'm looking forward to that, although it's probably going to be some hard work, like sort of like sending me back to school where you have to practice all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And practice and practice and practice, you know. But yeah, so it's just some of the consonants that I don't say just right. To me, it sounds fine. But then when I listen to it, I go, yeah, dude, you still have some accent. So, okay, so you found yourself in New York and you moved there because the company moved there?
I actually asked to be moved there.
Really?
We were based in San Francisco and I went to Berkeley, so then I moved to San Francisco. And then I was bored with San Francisco because going to Berkeley, it's so close to San Francisco and you just... So it's kind of like I was in San Francisco already a little bit, you know, because we'd go to the city, you know, when I was in college and stuff. And so they were opening a New York office. So I asked if I could get transferred. So they moved me out there. And then...
Why did you want to get transferred? You wanted to experience New York for a while?
Uh-huh.
And how long were you there?
I was there 5 years.
5 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So
that
that's
for a while.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And oh, but not with the company.
Then I had to look... Yeah, then I got a new job because that one went out of business.
Gotcha.
Yeah. What was New York like? I mean, was it hard for you to adjust in the beginning? Or,
you know...
Being from California?
You know, I feel like going from Orange County to Berkeley, then to New York, it was easy. If I'd gone from Orange County to New York, I feel like maybe it would have been
like a shock.
Berkeley was so different than Orange County, you know, that New York was kind of just a little bit of an extension of that, in that, you know, there's different pockets in Manhattan, like the East Village, which is where I lived for a while, was actually at the time a lot like Berkeley. So, I was excited. A friend drove me to the airport from San Francisco, and I was just ready to go. Yeah. So it was really fun. It was great. I feel like everyone should live in New York at some point in their like 20s if they can.
Yeah, in their 20s when you're willing to tolerate all that expensive stuff and living in a very small place old, right?
And the alcohol. Yeah.
And the alcohol too. Yeah. All right, well, let's fast forward because we are running out of time and I want to talk a little bit about your business now. So let's fast forward a little bit.
Okay.
And so tell us how this started. So you worked for another company, right, for a while. So you got jobs in the corporate world for a while?
Yes.
And how long did that last until you decided to go on your own?
So that lasted 13 years.
13 years.
Out of college.
Uh-huh.
And then I quit my job last year.
You moved back to L.A.?
So I had moved back to L.A. with the company I was working with in New York '07. Yeah. And so then worked for them, but I was here, and then just quit that.
I see. Yeah. Okay. So. And you like L.A. now, right? Is that where you stayed for a while?
I do like L.A. And, you know, it's so weird because growing up in Orange County, you don't go to L.A. a lot, which is weird. Yeah. And people in L.A. don't go to Orange County a lot. It's kind of like a Northern California, Southern California.
The Orange Curtain.
Weird. It's totally the Orange Curtain. Yeah. And so coming to L.A., this has been a new... It's almost like me moving to New York.
Yeah.
And then it was such a new and has been such a new experience. I love it. I mean, I went through a little dip at the beginning where I was like, oh my God, the typical complaining things. And then now I'm like, this is the best place ever. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd not say I couldn't live anywhere else, or I think there's a lot of great places.
There's a lot of great places.
I mean, there's so many great cities, but.
But this is where it's at as far as business and happenings and things like that. So you left the company knowing you wanted to do something on your own, or did you just leave because you were burned out?
Well, I didn't have a job and I quit. So I knew I was either going to have to find a job or do something on my own. And I knew I was going to do something on my own. It hadn't been fully developed in terms of the concept when I quit. And in fact, when I quit, my boss at the time was so confused, because usually when you quit your job like that, it was so I was in institutional sales, so I was raising money for hedge funds, and I'd been doing that for about 7 years. And usually when you quit a job like that, you know, you're going somewhere else, you know, like maybe for more
something
money
secure.
Or like, you know, you got recruited somewhere, whatever. And I just quit, you know, and I just said, in my head, I knew I was going to go down this path, but I didn't have it exactly sorted exactly how I wanted to do it. But, you know, he was saying, what are you doing? And are you having a nervous breakdown? He literally asked me, he said, you're having a midlife crisis. And by the way, I was not 40 and I'm not 40. So I was like, that, first of all, maybe why I'm quitting. No.
Yeah, yeah, this attitude,
no,
right?
He's awesome. Yeah. I knew I didn't want to do that. And I knew there was something in the financial and money realm, having 13 years in that industry, that I could do that was more fun for me.
That
was what I knew. I knew I could parlay it to something that was fun for me, that suited my personality more, and would also be, you know, ideally a value add for other people. And I mean, to be honest, I looked at my life and I was like, you know, I mean, you've probably done this before where you say, you fast forward your life 10 years and you say, you know, do I want to be doing this in 10 years? Is this something? And I just knew I didn't want to be. Mm-hmm. And you can easily get in these jobs. I mean, it was a good career.
Right.
You know, a great company.
I bet you were making some pretty good money in finance, right?
It was good money, yeah.
Yeah. Do you still have any of it left? Are you looking for a husband?
It's draining. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So you left a cushy job. I mean, actually,
I did.
Right?
I did. Yeah.
And so, so you went on to do what next?
So when I quit the job, I spent about 5 months. Okay. So the bottom line is my view is that money and finance topics are just overly complicated, exceedingly boring, and just not entertaining enough.
Right, right.
And, you know, you see shows like The Daily Show and Colbert and what they do with the news, and they make them really entertaining, but you still learn stuff. I think you can parlay that concept to something in the money and finance arena.
Right.
So the first 6 months since I had left, I was just building up my site, which you have in front of you.
Right. And tell us what the website is so people can follow.
Yes, it's Making Sense Babe. So I basically go through any news that impacts your money and cut out all the crap and tell you what you need to know. And you have to sign up on the site for a weekly roundup that I send out. It's fairly easy for me to understand what's going on, but I know that it's not easy for a lot of people.
For people, everyone
else. Right. So I want to make it easy to understand and entertaining.
Right, and fun and stuff.
Fun. Yeah.
Wow,
yeah. So that's – and then the main focus is really I have a couple people that I've been working with that help me produce videos that we take a concept in the news and – It could be a sketch, or it could be just a topic, and essentially creating, a well-produced video for viewers, so they can also have a visual option aside from just the stuff that I, churn out writing-wise.
Yeah, but you're obviously passionate about it. It's not boring to you and stuff.
No.
And but you probably realized you have the gift of simplifying things for the layman, so they can understand and actually, make use of it and stuff. I know I need that because, you know, I could never go into finance. That's why I brought it up earlier, because I'm sort of like a creative type, you know, so I'm like totally into marketing and things like that, you know, but when it comes to finance, to me, it's like my head starts spinning, so I need something like this, and to make it more palatable maybe, because some of these things are very important to know.
Yeah, I mean, a perfect example is, you know, let's say you own Apple stock, and a lot of people, let's say you own it individually, and a lot of people actually own it in, if they own any sort of fund that's in their 401k or could be in one of their
part of the fund.
Exactly.
Right.
So, you know, they just did a stock split 2 weeks ago.
Right. Wasn't it like four ways or something?
It was 7-1.
7-1.
See?
7-1.
You already know what's going on. Yeah.
I was going to say 7, and because I remember, you always have to go with your first instinct. And I remembered 7, and then I'm thinking to myself, there's no way they're going to split it 7 ways.
Right.
But that's true, huh? Because it's gotten so pricey. I remember a few years ago, I wanted to invest in some stocks. Apple was $150.
Wow.
Yeah. But I didn't have any money to invest.
Well, now it's your chance.
Yeah.
I guess. I'm not recommending that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of people know, they see the headlines of the split. But I mean, do you have time to actually read about why and what's going on and what it means? Like, so
yeah, how it affects you.
How it affects you. No. Right. I mean, I understand you have a completely different career. And, so it's getting to the bottom of it, and then also saying things that other people are probably skipping over a little bit that are a little bit hesitant to say because they're traditional journalists and they can't say things, but I'm not, so I can say whatever. So it's I can tell you, I could tell you in 5 bullets in the weekly roundup what it means for you, and so you don't have to read the article. And then you can get on with whatever you're trying to do for the day.
Sounds amazing.
Are you getting good feedback from people and people signing up? And
yeah, I am. I'm getting good feedback. I feel like the funniest thing is, so the tagline is the money site for non-finance people because finance people are annoying. That's my tagline. And I intentionally put that on there because I feel like, you know, like you have your thing on your radio that says irreverent, entertaining, cool.
Right.
I mean, I see the word irreverent, and so you automatically know what the tone of the show is going to be.
Right.
So I put that tagline on there because I wanted people to kind of get the tone immediately. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, a lot of friends who are like serious finance people, they're like, you should take your tagline down. That's kind of lame. I'm like, you're the one that thinks it's lame because you're lame.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're the only person who thinks it's lame. P.S. Yeah.
Because he's the opposite of your target market. Right.
Well, so back to the point is the feedback, the people that like it, the people that are really serious finance people, mm-hmm. that have sticks up their rears, you know, I make fun of them half the time, so they don't like it. Right. But it's the people who are maybe not finance people, don't work in the finance industry, but business oriented, you know, and mm-hmm. like to know this mm-hmm. stuff, you know, like you guys.
Yeah.
So that has been
and that's your target audience.
Yeah, that's the target, yeah. Not the people that
that are already in the industry and understand this stuff inside and out.
Well, and then, I mean, I do have people, I have a bunch of old friends from the industry that have really great sense of humor mm-hmm. and secretly are snickering at yeah. their life, and they like what I'm doing because it's like I'll say what they can't say, right. you know? Right. So there's that crew of people, you know, they're like, I can't believe you said that, you know, but so
it's, but that's cool. So, I mean, you've got some guts there to go mm-hmm. against the establishment, let's say, and sort of like, yeah, I mean, you turned it inside out and made it into something entertaining, you yeah. know, that people can actually consume.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing is I thought about it. I did think about it a lot, and I was thinking, if I do this, you know, and this is kind of what happened the first 5 or 6 months after I had quit, was if I really go after this full throttle, you know, similar to what you guys are doing, I mean, you have to do something that is different, that's not a totally saturated market. You know, right. a lot of people say you should be, you know, like yeah. there's so many people doing the same thing
right.
that, I mean, it's like, all right, if yeah. you're going to do, look to see how saturated the market is and try to yeah. do something that's, and I don't know if you know Seth Godin.
Yes.
Okay. So that's like his whole Purple Cow.
Right.
Have you read, I don't know if you've read that
yes,
book.
Yes, all the books. Yeah. Like, yeah. like, something with Sunday and all that stuff. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
go on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's just, I yeah. mean, it's, I don't, it's not like I view it as, to me, it doesn't feel like bold or whatever. It feels kind of more like who, it's more just thinking about the landscape and what's out there and my personality.
Right. And your opinions maybe too.
Yeah. And yeah. thinking about there's more opportunity there than right. just doing what everybody else is doing.
Sounds good.
And you do have to stick your neck out and you do, you know, have to say things that other people wouldn't say. But I feel like that's where my mm-hmm. finance background comes in, is I don't say anything I can't back up. And yeah. I feel like I have, you know, 13 years of finance where I feel like I don't feel like I'm going to get steamrolled over if I
right.
if that's I do true. Say something that, yeah. you know.
Awesome. Yeah. So what is your business model? How do you benefit from this?
So how do I make
mean,
money?
Yeah. I mean, I hate when people ask me yeah, how yeah, you make yeah. money yeah. off of this. That's why I asked it yeah. nicely.
Yeah. No, definitely. So there's basically three ways I'm generating revenue. Number one, and this is going to be looking a lot better soon. I have my developer working on this. I sell a cheat sheet on the website.
Uh-huh. I was about to ask about that. The best yeah. effing investment cheat sheet.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. That gives you the tone of the website. Yeah. Right.
Right.
There.
Right.
Yeah,
and that again is, you know, maybe for people like you, it's $10 a month. And mm-hmm. I mean, I'm reading so much, staying on top of what's going on. And I mean, a lot of it again is just cutting out what you don't need to know, but giving you updates. It's a little more financy than the weekly thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's for people that say, listen, can you give me some sample portfolios, say 5 funds that, you know, that look okay. And it's not like I'm recommending these funds. I mean, they're Vanguard funds,
right.
you know, they're not like I'm getting kickbacks, you know, it's just to help people say, okay, this is, you know, what's going on in the markets. The stock market did this, and this. Here's what's going on with unemployment rate. Watch this number. If you have to watch one number, watch this number, and I'll keep on top of it for you once a month. You can read this. So it's for people that want a little more, because you'd see in the weekly roundup, that's good info, but also like more entertaining.
Right.
So there's that. And then I'm working with people on producing and hosting a show. I don't know if you're familiar with Tasty Trade.
No.
They're based out of Chicago, and they do live. I don't know if you probably know Huffington Post Live.
Yes.
Okay. So it's the same kind of concept. I mean, streaming online, live, visual every day. So I'm going to be doing, but it's only money and finance related.
Okay.
So I'm doing I'm producing and hosting a show for them that's going to be starting in about a month, but I'm going to do it from here. And okay. So it's essentially a partnership. I'm porting a lot of the stuff that I'm already doing on Making Sense Babe onto their platform.
Okay, sounds good. Well, Catherine, we're totally out of time, so I hate to cut you off in mid-sentence. But Catherine Ciccoletti, the website is MakingSenseBabe.com. And you're definitely a babe, and you make a lot of sense. So I think you've earned the name.
You do. It's obvious you know what you're talking about.
Right.
Well, thanks definitely. For
having me. Is there information about you on the website if people want to know some background and things like that?
On the about page.
If they haven't learned everything already by the show, right? Catherine, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you
you're
for
definitely
having
a lot
me.
Of fun.
I appreciate
Congratulations on the website.
Thank you.
And check back with us. Let us know how it develops and stuff. How long have you had it now?
I launched the site last year.
Last year?
Yeah.
So good.
It's still pretty new.
So it's still a baby.
Yeah. It's still a baby.
Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Okay. Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.